Ladies and gentlemen, power is over. But that does not mean for one instant of a second that the fun is over. Without a doubt, you are here because the power is out. So stick around, because it's oh, it's power out. Yeah, it's power out.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to Love Wrestling's live reaction to NWA Power. This is Power Out. Mr. J, as always, thank you for the stellar introduction. My name is Zach Ralph. I am joined this week by the first ever Love Wrestling Quizplex champion, Lawrence. Dude, how you doing, man?
Good. You? How are you doing?
Awesome. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Clearly, winning Quizplex has not changed who I am.
Oh, my goodness. Championship on the shoulder where it rightfully belongs, dude. We've had two quizplexes since. You're not the reigning champion, but you are the original champion, and no one will ever be able to take that away from you, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's quite an honor, and and you're welcome for me being here. You owe me $3,000.
We'll e-transfer it to you right after the show. I'm sure that's in Spencer's budget somewhere. Of course, thank you for joining us. And thank you to anyone who's watching right now. I know this is a very busy week for the wrestling fandom. There's a wealth of content to be enjoying right now. And the fact that you're extending your enjoyment of NWA Power with our live reaction show means the world to us. But even if you're joining us after the fact, if you're joining us tomorrow, day after, wherever, thank you so much for watching or listening, wherever you're enjoying Power Out. Thank you very much. Dude, this week's Power, pretty solid episode, not their strongest, but before we really get into like the in-depth review, have you been like keeping up with NWA like in recent weeks?
No, it's the first episode I've watched since they switched to Fight TV. And I did enjoy the episode. They're like, it went by kind of quick. But yeah, like it's definitely a fun show that I'm going to check out from here on out.
Awesome. Russell Plug, Inc., last week's co-host, actually, just saying Stud's doing work. So thank you, my friend, valued member of the Love Wrestling team. It's what we do, man. And you know it better than anyone. the past few weeks have been like really like filled with content in the NWA. Like they've really accomplished a lot in the short amount of time that they have. But I want to, you know, we kind of talked about this before we went on air. I kind of want to treat this episode of Power Out like as a bit of like an entry point for anyone who's like kind of like wanting to step into the NWA, but doesn't want to jump in without any kind of like lapses in their knowledge and worried about not knowing things getting in the way of them enjoying present NWA TV. So Lawrence, I'm going to invite you to if you ever have any questions about like what's going on, like in regards to the storyline, please jump in. Now's the time to do so. I'm friggin' excited to review the show with you.
Yeah, I'm absolutely pumped. Yeah. Let's go. Let's get through it.
Yeah, let's start with the top of the show. We start with the tag team champions at the announce booth, Aaron Stevens and Kratos. They're sitting there. They're saying that tonight's going to be a very tag team heavy episode. And as champions, they just want to scout the action, see what's going on, and see who they need to start worrying about. They emphasize that this isn't a proper tournament or anything. It's just like, you know, watching teams get the all-important momentum, as other brands might call it, wins and losses. You know, Stevens, he's ready to fight to take on any challengers. Sol Renaro comes out. He and Aaron Stevens had a little exchange last week in which it seemed as if Stevens agreed to give Sol Renaro a tag team title shot. And Russell Plug, you're in the comments. Please confirm this. I'm pretty sure we talked about that. But Aaron Stevens kind of dismissed it. It seemed very like, no, it wasn't sanctioned by the NWA. You also don't have a tag team partner. And, you know, I spent the last week really, you know, wondering who Sol Renaro's partner was. All in all, I thought it was a pretty good segment. I like Aaron Stevens as a babyface. I think he needs a little more fire to him, but I'm rooting for him, like, naturally.
Yeah. like, I would like to see more of his dynamic with his tag partner. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see that. Yeah, like, I agree with you. He does need, like, a little more oomph to him, or, like, but, like, again, like, he was just sitting at the desk. He didn't have much to do. Like, he really needs something to bounce off of. So, like, they really need a strong opponent. But, yeah, I was looking at them. I really want to know more about their dynamic of their tag team. And how with Kratos was his name?
Kratos, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
originally, sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, like, from what I understand, like, there was a lot going on between, in, like, the NWA's quote-unquote hiatus, or at least Power's hiatus.
Yeah.
Like, last I remember, like, you know, obviously, Aaron Stevens was involved with the question mark, the late Josephus, Joseph Hudson. Yeah. And I don't know when he started getting involved with Kratos, but as it's been presented on NWA TV so far, they've only had been involved in one match together, six-man tag, back in, like, the first episode of Power post-hiatus. And, you know, there's a budding conflict there, because now Aaron Stevens is, like, the de facto babyface, and I think they were, like, more of a heel team. And looking at Kratos, that certainly stands. So, yeah, I too want to see their dynamic, and I think it's going to result in a lot of conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially, like, the segment ends, though, like, you know, they kind of dismiss Sol Renaro. He leaves. But after, you know, Aaron Stevens made a big deal how they were there to scout the competition and keep an eye on the tag team division, they just get leave. Up and
yeah. I literally have anything else to do right now.
Yeah. Bit of a plot hole, but, like, yeah. Let's not nitpick. I would have been happier to see them on the remain on the commentary booth, but such is life, and such were the choices that NWA made. We jump into the first tag team match of the evening. We have Perro and Odinson versus Strictly Business. Man, I have supported Perro for a long time, but I had no idea who was part of a long-term tag team known as The End with Odinson, and I was very impressed by what I saw from this team, man. Again, the announcer, Kyle Davis, he confirmed that Chris Adonis as a member of Strictly Business, which up until now has just been kind of, like, hinted upon. So maybe it's true, maybe it's not quite there. And we'll talk about that later with Nick Aldis's promo. But essentially, really fun format, really fun tag team match. Four big hosses in the ring just doing what four big men do. I love hoss matches like this. The End is absolutely fun to watch. I love their, like, Mad Max aesthetic, blowing the chrome whatever into each other's mouths.
War Boys. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they were an absolute beast tag team, and it was fun to watch them. And Adonis makes an absolute, like, great slimy heel, taking every advantage he can find. Nice back and forth action. Adonis looks dominant. Beautiful counter of the master lock by Perro. He turns it into a cutter / stunner. It was very well executed. Yep. Hot tag to Odinson. Holy shit, this dude has a great hot tag. Sorry, yeah. I'm going a mile a minute here. There's a lot that happens in this match.
No.
Let's stop and talk about this hot tag, because fuck, it was, like, one of the best hot tags I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, they were super impressive. Like, I really enjoyed their tag team. Like, their whole War Boys gimmick was well done. Like, it was fun to see. Then these two guys, I'm very excited about. Like, they can go. They can get, like... Again, like, they'd be fun to see for the tag team titles there.
Absolutely. I think they could,
even in a losing fashion.
Yeah, indeed. They picked up the loss. They hit Strictly Business with the Super Collider. They follow it up going for Doomsday Device, but Camille comes out. She distracts the referee. That affords them to get a low blow and Adonis to lock in the master lock, turning it into a victory. One little detail I liked here, like, there was action happening in the ring and action happening out. They did a whole split cam.
Love that.
Yeah, very Windows Movie Maker, but I still appreciated the detail, being able to capture two things happening at once.
One.
Yeah.
Although, for people with, like, ADD, it is hard to you're testing the limits of keeping two screens at once.
Totally fair. Again, it's not, like, the most... impressive practical effects to execute on television, but it's one of those little details that further distincts NWA from their competition, for lack of a better term. Before And just before they go to break, Thunder Rosa comes to the ring and she starts yelling at Strictly Business. She's had conflict with Camille for weeks. I just wanted her to like jump in the ring and start causing trouble. Break here happens. And actually that's a good time to mention now. We mentioned that Lawrence is the original Quizplex champion. So I wanted to take a moment to show everyone one of the key moments to his victory. So we're going to jump to a short little video from Quizplex number one, and I hope you all enjoy. What wrestler showed up on the Drew Carey Show in the episode Kate Dates a Wrestler playing the role of the disciplinarian? And here's a hint. He brought the real WWF Intercontinental Championship with him.
Oh my god. Drew Carey Show. I'm trying to date that. That was 90s, right?
That's like deep in the blue eyeshadow phase.
Oh, man. God, I can't think of... The only person I could think of that would have the IC title in the... Oh, God, I don't know this one.
I don't either. I am drawing a blank.
I forgot the Drew Carey Show existed.
I got to cut you. That's been your 10 seconds there. I'm sorry, Gabe. We're going to have to move on to the next players. Lawrence, Mel, do you have an answer for this one?
I got nothing, wow, and I wasn't even watching this show.
Well, Lawrence's wild guess gets it. The answer is
yes. I actually love the Drew Carey Show, and I remember Triple H did like a bunch of sitcoms. Like he did Bernie Mac too.
You know, I just couldn't get past the Vampire Pomeranian though, so that's what I'm kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, Josh in the comments with throwing shade at Gabe. For
wow, they're turned on.
Gabe is turning on Gabe. Back. Second question.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, well, Josh took it back and says King Gabe.
Make up your mind.
No pressure, Gabe. No pressure.
Making signals.
Josh is just taking us on a roller coaster right now with his love-hate relationship with Gabe. I'm worried about this. That was one of Lawrence's key moments towards victory. And full discretion, I planned on playing that a little bit later, but my cat was eating Easter flowers and I had to prevent that from continuing. So that was a perfect little break.
Truly, what a nerd. I am a tremendous nerd.
Dude, it was a tremendous guess is what it was, and it was one of the key moments to victory. So bravo, sir. It's what made you the original Quizplex champion. But we're back from break, just as NWA Power was returning from break, of course. Thunder Rosa is spitting fire with Kyle Davis at the announce table. She is pissed off with Camille, and rightfully so. Last week, Camille jumped her for seemingly no reason. Camille defeated Thunder Rosa rather decisively at the pay-per-view Back for the Attack, and last week's run-in was very out of place, and I didn't understand why it happened. But the story continues. Taryn Terrell comes out. She's making her Power debut, and she's saying she's there to support Thunder Rosa if she needs it in her own unique way, very obnoxious and a very special Taryn Terrell way. She was absolutely wonderful. Melina comes out. She says more or less the same thing, getting in Taryn Terrell's face. But Thunder Rosa essentially, she blows them both off. She has no interest in having their support, calls them messy asses, making me laugh, and storms out.
90% of my notes are just Thunder Rosa rules.
I mean, rightfully so.
Like, I would say there is the promo did get a little muddled near the end there with the three of them. Like there was some like awkward pauses. But in that, like Thunder Rosa, like the Hurt the Desk was great. I feel like AEW needs to give her more of a chance to talk on the mic when she's there. Cause there, when she's given a chance, she killed like the passion. And like, even though English clearly isn't a first language, she still does a pretty good job with it. And mixes the Spanish and the English well together. Like, I'm very excited for the future of Thunder Rosa in NWA.
Dude, like, I say this every time I see her. She is just an absolute privilege to watch. She's a fantastic wrestler top to bottom. And, like, you know, when she cuts a promo, you believe it. She's everything you want in a pro wrestler. I was very surprised in the absolute best possible way because the last run of NWA, like they had a women's division, but they didn't put invest all that much time. And while this episode doesn't have a women's match, I am still most intrigued by the women's division. You know, they've got Taryn Terrell, Thunder Rosa, Camille. Last week we were introduced to Genocide. They also got Alex Gracia. They've got a budding division and a lot of interest, creative interest that they're developing.
Yeah, I'd say Taryn Terrell gives like a big like private school mom energy, like somebody who would get like caught up in the college scandal, trying to get their kid into NYU.
Oh, I love that. She can share a cell with.
Yeah, and it was nice seeing Melina again. As,
yeah, absolutely. Like said, I mean,
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Like there was a lot of rumors about Melina leaving and going for the WWE, like during the hiatus. And like, I certainly wouldn't blame anyone who made such a move. But after NWA lost so many of their top tier talent, over the hiatus, Melina would have been another blow. And it's, as a fan, I'm very happy to see her, remaining on NWA TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I like interrupted you a couple times there. Little delays there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We follow this up with another tag team match. We get Slice Boogie and Mims versus the War Kings. War Kings reunited, of course. They were involved in a fatal four-way match at Back for the Attack, and there was references to them being a former tag team. They're reunited. They're taking on Slice Boogie and Mims. Boogie tags out very quick from the get-go and kind of lets Mims get dominated for like the first few minutes. Slice does get back in the ring and he has a chance to get some offense, but essentially he loses the upper hand very quickly. Mims is back in, but whenever Mims gets in, he does a phenomenal job selling. He is just getting his ass beat. He's making the War Kings look like $1 million. Slice Boogie runs around the ring. He grabs Jack Stain by the feet, pulls him off. He lands headfirst on the apron, and he is out cold. He is out cold for the rest of the match. Crimson like looks dominant. He's doing his best to fight off two people, and we get like another solid 4 or 5 minutes of action. And usually, you know, after a partner will get knocked out, you know, they rush to a finish. But this was like they took their time. They really made Crimson look very strong, even though eventually he lost to a schoolboy from Mims.
Yeah. I felt that Slice Boogie set me up. I thought they were going to lose the entire time solely because he was wearing Mets colors.
You'll have to forgive me. My knowledge of sports is pretty much limited to a predetermined basis. So Mets, are these bad luck
baseball
colors?
Team.
Okay.
Yes, they are the least popular New York team. And they're famous for losing.
Fair enough. Match itself, what did you think?
Oh, there was like a couple rough spots in the middle there. But like I enjoyed the idea of the one partner just being out for the entire back end of the match. Like, not fading. And I enjoyed Velvet Sky's call on that, where she just said, like, after a couple of minutes, like, maybe somebody should be checking on him. He's been out for, like, 4 minutes now. And finally a ref comes out to check on him. I felt that was a nice touch to it.
One sole ref just comes up, starts shaking his shoulders. You okay, man? You okay?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, cool. I got to give
dead.
It up. For... He's okay,
he's
folks.
Not dead guy.
I got to give it up to Velvet Sky too. I'm a big fan of like her work as a commentator for NWA so far. Her content is A1. Like it's clear she has a great mind. I mean, like that was already obvious because she's been a fantastic worker, regardless of what role she's been involved in wrestling. But as a commentator, she's really on the ball. I would like to hear a little more volume because like I sometimes just can't quite hear what she's saying. She's a little quiet sometimes, but other than that, she's like absolutely fantastic. Another note about commentary here, Tim Storm, he did a really good job selling that, like, you know, he's gone to war countless times with Jack Stain, and like he's surprised to see him knocked out. Like the fact that he's knocked out, it must be serious, the fall he took. But at the same time, earlier on, Tim Storm just like he wouldn't, he kind of went on a little too long about how he didn't see what happened, even though it happened like right for the camera. And Joe Galli kind of like had to get him back on track. It's like, it's okay, man. You didn't see it. Let's move on and call the action.
Yeah. Also, that gave it a good few minute thing for the his tag partner to show off what he did, because he did a great job taking on the other tag team 2-on-1, putting a lot of good offense. I really enjoyed that little segment.
Yeah, I've enjoyed Crimson for a long while. I really liked his work in TNA or Impact Wrestling. I was worried that his appearance at Back for the Attack was going to be a one-off, so I was quite pleased to see him in action again this week on Power. He looked great. Like you said, he had a chance to really really shine, fight off the tag team as best as he could, but eventually picked up the L. And that's another thing I wanted to say. This was a second tag team match in a row, and it felt like universally different from the other one we saw. I thought they did a great job of telling two very different stories in two tag team matches, one after the other.
Yeah, especially they finished with a potentially teasing a split between the other tag team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of intrigue in the tag team division right now. After the match, we get a promo from Nick Aldis. I love Nick Aldis so much, man. Like, he is just putting in the work, and he talks his promo. It's a totally impassioned promo. He talks about knowing the difference between being good and being great. And when he's good, he is pissed off with himself because he should be great. He was just fantastic top to bottom. And like, the takeaway message from this promo is that Strictly Business is actively recruiting. It might not be one spot. It might be more than two spots. And also, this is the intriguing part, that, your position in Strictly Business is not guaranteed. So maybe people are not going to be sticking around. And as you know, there are certain persona non gratas that we don't talk about on Power Out. And there's, I think me saying that, you know who I would like to see leave the group. Wrestling Plug-In Inc. All this, he is $1 million. Again, that's when he's good.
Yeah. He embodies that title so perfectly, and like, the being the face of the brand, like, there's a reason he was champion for 900 days, not just because of the pandemic, but because he is truly he embodies NWA so perfectly and what they want to show. I'm really enjoying him. I've enjoyed everything I've seen with Nick Aldis.
Absolutely. And this promo leaves a lot of intrigue, man, because like, he's talking about adding members to Strictly Business. He also drops in the line that it doesn't matter what promotion you work for. The hot topic of professional wrestling right now is the Forbidden Door, and like, the, you know, the gates being open between companies, maybe like a star or two popping up in NWA from a Ring of Honor, which is plausible. AEW, who knows? I don't know. Top of your head, who would you like to see in Strictly Business?
Ooh, from any company or from like,
take your time. We got time.
I don't know. Maybe a tag team with, they bring in Cody Rhodes.
Oh, man. I loved Cody Rhodes versus Nick Aldis, and I understand why Cody won the NWA championship when he did, but I would have loved to see Aldis's reign. I don't know what it would be at this point, probably in like the 1400s or so. Like, but that's history. He's still a great champion, but yeah, Cody Rhodes would be a hell of an addition. They've teased like alliances here and there with Scott Steiner in the previous incarnation of Power. And I wouldn't mind revisiting that, cause I'm a Scott Steiner mark. I love seeing the guy. I pop whenever he's on screen. But like,
really,
I don't
just
know.
Love math.
Really. I just love math. Absolutely. Steiner's particular brand of math. Absolutely. I don't know who I would add to Strictly Business, but I am intrigued to think about it, and I'd like to think about it going forward. Anyone in the comments, if you have ideas of who you'd like to see in Strictly Business, please let us know. Drop it in. We'll revisit that in just a minute. But we also got a big main event to talk about. This was supposed to be the main event of last week, but there was circumstances surrounding the national championship, TV championship, Fred Rosser versus Pope. Okay, first thing we got to talk about is Kyle Davis getting Pope's hometown wrong and the death glare that Pope gave to him for the rest of his intro. Like Pope, man, he's just got everything. He's got all the tools to make it work. He's got comedic timing. When he needs to be threatening, he can be threatening. And he is just an athletic dude. I always look forward to watching Pope matches and Pope content. And this was certainly no different. Match starts off with some really solid chain wrestling to start. Nice back and forth. Pope looks for that big uppercut that he makes so famous and makes look so good, but Fred Rosser backs off. Really like that moment because it was just, it just showed that like they know each other so well, but it also like hinted that, you know, Fred Rosser is studying this guy, studying, he wants to make this championship happen for him.
Yeah, and he's earning the name Mr. No Days Off because he's clearly working. He saw that coming a mile away.
What was interesting last week is like they had a face-to-face interview in place of a match, and Fred Rosser was like playing the heel, like he was like very full of himself, like he had a real edge to him that I really wasn't expecting. And again, and pro wrestling as a whole doesn't really have a great repertoire of representing gay characters. They didn't resort to gay panic. They didn't resort to any like cheap tropes or like problematic stuff like that. They just made Fred Rosser a really compelling heel in a good promo. And it's one of the things that kept me looking forward to this match all week.
Yeah, that definitely came out near the end of the match where he just let his frustration go. And part of like maybe the reason he lost that match, but he just started slapping in the back of the head. Like if you didn't know he was a heel before, by the end of that match, you knew he was a heel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The match continues. Pope's looking good, but Fred Rosser gets the upper hand. He eventually hits the gut check. Pope, brilliant move. He just rolls out of the ring, buys himself enough time to recompose himself and get a kick out on two. Finisher comes quick after that. Pope's able to get a little offense. He lines up Fred Rosser in the corner and he hits him with one of my favorite finishing moves in professional wrestling, the running double knee to the back. Mwah. Brilliant move. So fun to see. He picks up the win with 20 seconds to spare. Brilliant match, man. Like this was exactly what I wanted from an NWA main event.
Yeah. And the use of the clock was done perfectly because the second it gets under a minute, you're starting to look at him, especially when he's outside the ring. You're starting to look like they're starting to get more hurried, that he knows he needs to get the pin. Mm-hmm. And then exactly. That finisher look like it's the perfect finisher that looks brutal, but like probably doesn't hurt that much, but still looks good on television.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, great finish. Pretty good episode of NWA. Maybe not their best effort, but I would definitely say this was the best main event they have done in the past 3 weeks. You know, after the bell, nothing happens. That was the end of the episode. There was no follow-up to the match. That's exactly how the episode ends, with the Pope picking the 1-2-3 over Fred Rosser.
And celebrating with the title.
And celebrating with the title. And that was it. Dude, thank you so much for joining me. Like, again, top to bottom, what do you think? Now that we've reviewed it in depth, what do you think of the show?
Oh, I enjoyed it. Like, the NWA does a good job, especially like this week highlights it more than anything else, of the amount of wrestling content there is out there. They set themselves apart with their visual style. Even their commercials are 80s style, like the toys too. And those, just going to add a note on one of the commercials, those smoking kids look cool as hell. All kids should go smoke. That's what I got from that commercial.
I'm pretty sure that was the message. 100%.
Yeah.
We're just kidding. Don't smoke, kids. Love Wrestling does not endorse child smoking or smoking in general.
Unless you're a cool kid. Unless you're 100% a cool kid, you can put this on me. Yep. This is what happens when you put me on the show.
Okay, I'm going to revise my statement. Lawrence's opinions do not reflect those of the Love Wrestling team. But we still thank you for joining us all the same, my friend. It was great talking to you. Before I let you go, please let our audience know where they can follow the original Quizplex champion on social media.
It's at KurtCNDG on Instagram and Twitter.
Easy as that. Thanks for joining us on Power Out, whether you're watching now or watching later. Why was that a struggle? Either way, thank you. We're going to be back next week.